The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's our last show of the year. And do we have a gift for you?
A second straight dose of Phil and Frank Holiday Edition.
That's what they call an overdose of Phil and Frank, don't they? A second straight dose, huh?
Where the heck have you been? I haven't seen you in forever.
Is the
eggnog
spiked?
Probably out celebrating that win against Michigan State.
That was a good win. We needed that coming off Saturday.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Sorry,
Tom
Coach
Izzo, looks sick.
We sort of needed that win. Welcome to PTI. Kornheiser couldn't be bothered with our final show of the year. So here to save the day is our great friend, Mr. Frank Isola. Yeah.
Not bad.
How about that with eggnog? But let's start with a chaotic day for the Houston Rockets. John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins were among those sent home from the facility on the day of the team's opener as part of contact tracing after rookie KJ Martin tested positive. Meanwhile, Black Sports Online posted video of James Harden and a club supposedly in apparent violation of the NBA's COVID-19 protocols. Frank, as if there weren't enough issues already with the Rockets, where do you want to start with this mess?
Well, mess is the right word. And Michael, this is why the NBA only sent out half the schedule. Because I think that they know there could be situations where maybe games at some point could be postponed. You know, the NFL has gone through it. College football has gone through it. Major League Baseball has gone through it. They play outdoors. Look at what's happened in college basketball with all these issues where games have had to be canceled. Teams have to go on pause. So this will be a problem with the NBA. Now, I know the situation with Harden is unrelated. But, you know, I think about the team not too far from me at Madison Square Garden. They used to be the capital of dysfunction. Right now, it's Houston.
Yep.
And this whole situation with James Harden. I think at some point, the league is going to have to step in. Whatever the reason was why he was out, he didn't have a mask on. It looks like he's taunting the league. Looks like he's taunting the Houston Rockets. They need to do something here.
It looks at least, Frank, like he's not paying attention, right? And
yeah.
Let's face it. With the story we just saw on ESPN, you know, a week or 10 days ago, I mean, Harden already had people out there looking at his behavior, or just not behavior, lack of dedication at the level of LeBron, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, so many other, you know, great players at this point of their veteran careers. I want to go back to something you talked about with the other sports and what the NBA has to deal with. I talked to a veteran player who reminded me the other day, this is the first time we're going through this because in the bubble, we knew we were testing negative.
Yeah.
We knew those tests were going to come back negative because there was no way. People were not allowed in and out of the bubble. Negative tests. Now you have players and coaches with the anxiety that everybody else has had in no bubble world where you don't know whether that test is going to be negative when it comes back. But specifically to Houston, look how quickly they have spiraled
from
serious contender to just, can you get me out of here?
I
mean, if I'm a guy like PJ Tucker, a pro's pro, and you're just looking at this disintegrate around you, what must you be thinking? And Harden just goes along his merry way and does what he wants to do, and Houston not even assured what can happen the first day of the season. This is, I don't see how Harden can continue in Houston. I don't see why Houston would want to have him.
And remember, he wasn't available for the first practice. And Michael, this is the problem. You know, everybody talks about player empowerment. Yeah, it's great for the player because he calls all the shots, and then he's not held accountable. So James Harden wants Chris Paul out, then Russell Westbrook, this isn't going to work out. Then he wakes up one day and says, you know what, I don't want to be here anymore. And now here's the Houston Rockets. And how about Steven Silas? Spent about 20 years waiting to get an opportunity.
And he's got
your star player is causing you nothing more than headaches. He's probably on the phone with Mark Cuban saying, Mark, can I have my old job back as an assistant coach? It's better than what I have going
He'll
on right
get
now
out.
In Houston.
Who could blame him?
Absolutely. All right, Brooklyn was the buzz of the NBA last night. How about that? Kevin Durant scored an effortless 22 points in his first game since returning from tearing his Achilles in June of last year. Kyrie Irving added 26 in the Nets' blowout win over the Warriors. It's just one game, but Vincent Goodwill, you and I both know him, of Yahoo, wrote, if this is just a step, the rest of the NBA should be running scared. Mike, are you tempted to buy into the Nets' greatness after what you saw last night?
Not after what I saw last night, Frank, but what I've seen in the preseason. I mean, let's go over the lineup for a second, because I know you have been playing as close attention to this as I have, closer being there in metropolitan New York. Durant, Kyrie, DJ, Dinwiddie, and Joe Harris. I mean, seriously, that's a hell of a starting five. And then you can come off the bench, whether you want a second five or whether you want to tweak and come off piece by piece, with Green, LeVert, Allen, Shamet, and Prince. Are you kidding me? They look to me just powerful. They look complete. They look like they've got every phase of modern professional basketball covered. And I don't want to go off one game. You know, we know what can happen. Teams that look powerful in, you know, usually November, December can look just, you know, on the fade by the time we get to the All-Star break. There's a long way to go even with 72 games, but the Nets look powerful.
Yeah, 'tis the season to overreact. And, you know, Caris LeVert last year, he had a 51-point game on the road at Boston. That's against Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. That guy can play, and he's coming off the bench. And if Kyrie's going to play like that, share the ball, score, go to the basket, that's great. But this is about one guy. This is about Kevin Durant, who missed 560 days after blowing out his Achilles. To me, he's got the joy back. He's got his game. He wants to get back to that level that he was at before he got hurt. When he was a two-time finals MVP, LeBron has taken that crown. You can see that Kevin Durant is on a mission. He looks incredible.
He does. You know, Frank, there was that one play where he comes down the far baseline into the camera and goes up and under somebody and flushes it. And you're like, okay, that's what I'm looking to see. I just think there's a certain joy when when Kevin Durant plays like that and when he's healthy. I mean, it just adds to sort of the greatness of the league. I'm looking at Kyrie Irving. I'm going to go to something I know I told Kornheiser earlier this week. There are a couple of numbers, and I know usually these numbers are just symbolic in some sort of way.
Yeah.
But for Kyrie Irving, a guy who he's a wizard with the ball, but somehow averages fewer than six assists per game. If he can get that assist total up above 6.1, 6.2, it means something, even though it's not dramatically different than 5.7. But I've got to see evidence that he wants to involve everybody else.
Yes.
And it's going to be a lot less selfish as this season plays on. Because it seems like everything else, check, 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 check for the Brooklyn Nets right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and if Durant is going to play like this, they're going to be a tough team to knock out four times in a playoff
series. They are.
Mike, here's the thing, though, about Kyrie Irving. It's almost like he's saying, don't judge me on what happened the last 4 years. Just judge me on what happened in my first game. Listen, he's going to have a chance to kind of get his reputation back and become a great player again. But it is only one game. And remember, all these great teams, whether it's the Warriors, whether it's LeBron James and those Miami teams, they all go through adversity. Let's see how the Brooklyn Nets respond
to that. That's right. Yep. How are they going to handle it when it comes? The NBA returns tonight with 13 games, including openers for Luka Doncic and the Mavs against the Suns, Zion and the Pelicans against the Raptors, and Russell Westbrook and the Wizards against the retooled Sixers. Wizards retooled too. Frank, which team or player provides the best storyline tonight?
Well, first of all, I cannot believe that you're in Washington and not in Phoenix for that game.
It's tempting for me to be there.
The Suns, and of course, Luka, I think, is going to be the MVP this year. What's interesting, the last time Zion Williamson played a game was in Florida. He'll be in Florida again playing Toronto, of all teams. That's where they're playing. And Zion only played 24 games last season. He played his first preseason game, and he played 33 minutes. And Alvin Gentry must have been sitting home thinking, hang on a second. I couldn't play him 33 minutes in the bubble, but you're playing him 33 minutes in a preseason game. But I think the training wheels are off, and when you watch him play, he's so unique, so strong, so quick, so good around the rim. Let's keep our fingers crossed that he could stay relatively healthy because he is a dominant player. We only got to see him, Michael, 24 times all of last season.
Well, how great has he looked in the preseason, by the way, Zion? But I'm going to go to another team, and we're going back to the bubble, and you already mentioned this, the Phoenix Suns, all right, who I'm tying their restart tonight, not to the preseason, in which they're trying to figure out what they're going to do. Chris Paul taking his time, good, because he should take his time. But Chris Paul on that floor, and everybody can look at Devin Booker, who I think will be in the discussion for MVP. But I think also DeAndre Ayton may be the guy who benefits the most from the presence of Chris Paul. So you've got, that's a big three right there, is it not? Plus you've got some other nice parts with the Suns and Monty Williams. I'm excited to see the Suns. I'm excited to see Chris Paul be in a place where this can matter. If he got that much out of the Oklahoma City Thunder Kitties last year, I'm expecting at least that much, and that may be unfair, out of Phoenix this year. But I think that's exciting. Dallas is exciting. Everywhere you look, there are early storylines, and you say, oh, I want to see this, including the Wizards, because that's, I believe, right, Russell Westbrook's focus and intensity is going to just permeate through that locker room and through that team here in Washington, around the corner, down the street. I'm excited to see the Wizards really for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, it's a great backcourt. I think they'll be a playoff team. Meanwhile, the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo, we know that they're a great regular season team. They've changed the roster around. Jrue Holiday's on the team. They'll still be judged, just like the Clippers, how they do in the postseason, not how they do in
quick
the regular
Frank,
season.
Give me your Eastern Conference winner right now.
I'm going to say Milwaukee Bucks. What about you?
Yesterday, I said the Sixers. Today, I'm thinking Milwaukee. We both skipped over Miami, which we're going to hear from if we make a trip to Miami. Let's take a break. We're coming up. Paul George disappeared at times during last season's playoffs, like the end of them. So what's the word for how he delivered last night?
Yeah, he looked good last night. And did Zach Wilson put together a bowl performance last night that will move him up the NFL draft board?
Can't believe you're not in Phoenix. I don't want him
to move too far
up. No, I got a spot for him.
I got a spot for him, too.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Guinness. Game time is Guinness time. Please drink responsibly.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Guinness, part of Happy Hour.
Time to fill in some blanks with Fill In Frank. Let's get the first one from the producer over the loudspeaker.
Paul George put on a blank performance last night against the Lakers.
You know, Paul George was just, he was on fire. And we know he can do this. That's why the Clippers gave up, you know, like 94 draft picks to get him so they could get Kawhi Leonard, but they had to have Paul George. And this is why at the time you look at Paul George certain nights, you go, wow, this guy is one of the 7 to 10 best players in the league. But, Frank, what it turns out to be is a first-month performance by Paul George. I don't care what Paul George does in November or, in this case, December. And I don't care. We know he's great then. What is he going to be in the last month, whenever that is? Is it June, July, August? Whatever the last month is, what is he going to be then? Because he has been less than in his last month, great in his first month.
Yeah, that's why I call it pressure-free, because it's the first game of the season. Let's go back to those last three games against Denver. Double-digit lead in games 5, 6, and 7. The Clippers didn't come through. Remember, he hit the side of the backboard. He was terrible those last three games, and he got rewarded. He got that huge contract. You talk about failing up. He did that, and I don't like when he came, right before he came into camp, he put it all on Doc Rivers.
That
now, come
was
on
shameful.
Now, Paul. You didn't play well. Doc lost his job because of it. And also, Kawhi Leonard, let's not leave him out of this. He needed to play a lot better. He was the one that wanted Paul George there for those 94
but
draft picks that you talked
about. But at least he didn't
about.
Alibi. Paul George did just an awful thing, right? And he came out and talked about emotional issues and the difficulty of the bubble. And who tried to handhold him through that? Doc Rivers.
That's right,
his
coach.
He threw Doc Rivers. You know, I felt for Paul George when he talked about his issues, and I feel for that part of it. But then you undo that goodwill when you come out and you throw a guy who's wearing a ring and you ain't wearing one. As a coach, Doc Rivers wearing one, you're not. So, Paul George, let's see what you got after the first month. What's next?
BYU quarterback Zach Wilson's first half against UCF was blank.
Frank, let's go over that first half for a second. 17 for 21 passing, 353 yards, three touchdowns passing, two running for five total.
Amazing.
This performance for a quarterback from BYU, the alma mater of one punky QB, Jim McMahon, is bearish. Yeah. Because, look, I know right now the quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, in Chicago has played a lot better. His coach actually seems to have interest in coaching him the last couple of weeks because his job is on the line. But at some point, the Bears are going to have to start over with quarterback. It appears BYU again. Bearish.
Well, that's why the word is J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Oh, please.
Who probably aren't going to get Trevor Lawrence. Now, they could be in position to get Zach Wilson. Who are you, though? You have Steve Young on this show all the time.
Yep.
And the BYU quarterback that you reference is Jim McMahon. How dare you? That guy's a friend of the
near
program.
That's dear to my heart, the 85 Bears. And we love Steve Young on this show. We do. But if I'm trying to channel something in a that midnight blue and white and orange uniform trim, it's going back to Jim McMahon of BYU.
And guess what Steve Young said on a radio station out there in Utah? He said, I'm not going to say he's Patrick Mahomes, but he plays like Patrick Mahomes. You know what?
That's pressure.
That's good enough for me. And I love the way that he played against Coastal Carolina.
He was great.
They knocked him silly, and he almost drove them back at the end
of the
game.
And people keep saying he's small. He's like 6'3", 215. He's fine.
He's
an NFL-sized quarterback.
That's right.
Jets, Frank and baby. I had some words, but as you can see, we're good now. Let's take one last break, but still to come, can a Mountain West coach succeed in the SEC?
And will Josh Rosen finally break through with his latest team?
You don't think Steve will be upset that I invoke Jim McMahon before?
Yes, he will be.
He'll be upset.
He's on the show all the time.
I know. But he knows where my heart is. It's not in San Francisco in this case. It's a Soldier Field.
Greenwich, Connecticut.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Guinness. Game time is Guinness time. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
It's happy time, people. Happy 57th birthday, Jim Harbaugh. His entire football life has played out on big stages in dramatic ways. He played in college for Bo Schembechler, was the Big Ten MVP as a junior, and as a senior led Michigan to the Rose Bowl. He was drafted 26th in the first round in 1987 by the Chicago Bears and effectively replaced Super Bowl hero Jim McMahon. He was a decent enough quarterback for mostly the Bears and Colts, but Harbaugh had big success right away as a coach. First in San Diego, then Stanford, and then in the NFL where Harbaugh took the 49ers to the NFC Championship game 3 straight years, including Super Bowl 47, which he lost to the Ravens and his brother John. It was Harbaugh who discovered, developed, and promoted Colin Kaepernick. All of this made his return to Ann Arbor to coach the Wolverines a natural fit, and Harbaugh became one of only two coaches ever at Michigan to win 10 games his first 2 seasons. But Michigan's inability to beat Ohio State even once in his 4 years and a dreadful 2020 season have led to speculation that he and his alma mater could part ways in the coming days, leaving Harbaugh looking for one more stab at glory either at another college or in the NFL.
I remember the 95 AFC Championship game, Colts Steelers. Remember that Hail Mary that he threw? That thing almost worked. They almost got to a Super Bowl. Do you think that maybe he's not cut out to be a college coach? Maybe he's better off in the NFL. They obviously want it to work out in Michigan, but who knows if that's
only guy, only coach to ever, head coach to ever reach three consecutive championship games his first three seasons. Happy anniversary, Chaminade. On this day, 38 years ago, your NAIA team beat undefeated, top-ranked Virginia in what many of us believe is the biggest upset in the history of American sport. The Cavaliers, starring three-time player of the year Ralph Sampson and a savvy point guard named Rick Carlisle, had beaten Duke by 13, Georgetown and Patrick Ewing in what was called the game of the decade, and Houston's five slam-a-jamma without the great Sampson, who essentially had the flu. But UVA couldn't handle Chaminade, which nobody outside of Hawaii had ever heard of, and which had been playing college basketball for a grand total of 8 years. There were two reporters, just two, from the mainland at that game in 3,500-seat Blaisdell Arena, and you're listening right now to one of them. As someone who long covered Virginia basketball and later married Oahu, I don't ever, ever, ever mention that night to Sampson or Carlisle, each of whom I've known for 40 years. And I can make the case that loss is still more painful to many Wahoos than the first-round NCAA tournament loss to UMBC 2 years later, even though it is the only time in tournament history a one seed has lost to a 16.
So you were at the game in Hawaii, then you had to have been at the game in D.C. when it was Sampson versus Georgetown. That game was on closed-circuit television.
I thought that was the first Turner game. I thought that was the first TNT game. What to settle this?
I think it was closed-circuit.
In the new year. Happy trails to Boise State for Brian Harsin. The Broncos coach is leaving his alma mater for the Auburn Tigers. Harsin went 69-19 over seven seasons with Boise State with three Mountain West titles. He went 6-6, more importantly, against Power 5 teams during that stretch, leading more than 20 of them to reach out to him over the years. The Athletic reports that Harsin recently pushed Boise State to leave the Mountain West for a bigger conference. Instead, it's Harsin who leaves for the SEC. Oddly, it's not the first time Harsin has followed Gus Malzahn. He also took over for him at Arkansas State back in 2013, where he won a share of the Sun Belt Conference title. No one seems to question Harsin's coaching ability, but will he be able to win recruiting battles against guys named Saban, Orgeron, Smart, Fisher, Kiffin, even Dan Mullen?
Yeah, well, good luck having to play in the same state as Alabama. That's not going to be easy. But if you have a chance to coach in the SEC, think about Gus Malzahn. He went 6-4. They got rid of him. They still owe him $21 million. And he had lost four games in each of the past seven seasons. It's tough to win down there.
It's going to be very tough to recruit and play and win, which I think we captured pretty well there, Frank. One omission. The Washington football team fined Dwayne Haskins $40,000 and stripped him of his captaincy after Sunday night's birthday party escapade. But Ron Rivera says Haskins will start the Panthers if Alex Smith can't go. That's being pressed into duty still. We're running out of show. Let's go to the big finish. The 49ers added Josh Rosen from the Buccaneers practice squad. Frank, is that significant?
I think it is. You know, you get a chance to look at a guy. It makes you wonder, what do they have planned for Jimmy Garoppolo? Maybe his future is not going to be in San Francisco. The University of Arizona will hire Patriots quarterback coach Jed Fish as its new head coach. Does that make sense to you?
Early returns out there seems to be some tension and not exactly happiness reigning out in, you know, University of Arizona land down in Tucson right now. Maybe they wanted somebody else. NOLA.com reports LSU is expected to part ways with passing game coordinator Scott Linehan. Wow. Does that make sense?
It was his fault. I think it might have been the quarterback leaving, winning the Heisman, going to the NFL.
Might
that might have had something to do with it. Exactly. DePaul finally opens its season tonight after 11 postponed or canceled games. Are you excited?
You know, I am. Long before I became a Wildcat and wore purple, I followed DePaul basketball, which most little kids back then in Chicago, even more so than the Bulls, grew up following. Thankfully, they're going to start now a season against Western Illinois. Last one, Montgomery Bowl tonight, Memphis, Florida Atlantic. I'm sure you can break it down, Frank. Who you got?
Willie Taggart of Florida Atlantic has never won a bowl game. Memphis is heavily favored. Memphis will win. We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. We are off until January 4, you knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcast. Shout out to Maya, I'll back you in a shooting contest against your big...